This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I suppose the evolution of it is simple enough. They invent the cell phone, and then they invent a way for us to text one another to make our communication much more quick and efficient. And then they add to that same device a pretty good camera. It's just a matter of time till we put that texting and the camera together. And then we can use this amazing tool to communicate with one another, show each other things that we're seeing from distant places. It's a great work tool, and on the list goes. But I wonder, in the mind of the creators, if they had ever really thought about the selfie, how the selfie was going to become its own thing. Back in 2014, the selfie, there were so many people taking selfies, and it had become such a huge thing that somebody made up the line as a joke. They called it selfitis. You just can't not take pictures of yourself and post them on some sort of social media. And they even did, and then over the years, though, now in 2019, actually, the American Psychological Association has said that this really is a pathology. It is something, it is a repetitive behavior that actually warrants attention from mental health professionals. And they define it as, if you take 3 selfies a day and post them on some form of social media, you have been diagnosed. So I will just say to you, welcome to the diagnosis. I know very few people that don't take at least 3 pictures a day and put them somewhere. Put them on social media, send them to a friend. We send them, every text that we have seems to need to be accompanied with a picture of ourselves smiling. I'll call Caroline, my daughter Caroline, I call it the selfie face. Every time she looks at her phone, she has this little smile that goes out, just in case your friends have forgotten what you looked like the last time you sent them a picture of you 37 seconds ago. It is this thing that, it's funny, it's obviously a great tool, and it's something that we use quite often, but there's some concern in this, in the American Psychological Association about the selfie, is that it's either, that sort of obsessive use of it, is either being fed by some sort of level of narcissism, or on the one hand, or some level of fear on the other. Fear that you're not being seen, fear that you're not being noticed, fear that you're not known. This is a deeply important thing to all of us. One of the most basic human desires is that we are known, that people know who we are, and that we are loved. We're seen and recognized and loved. And a deep-seated desire, I believe, in all of humanity, is that we are known and that we are seen and we are loved by God. Paul, obviously, is not talking about selfies, nor is he talking about some of the things that we consider narcissism or lack of self-esteem. But I do think he makes an interesting distinction in his letter to the Galatians that might be helpful for us today. When he talks about the difference between the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. Because remembering the context, he is talking to a Christian community that has gone way outside the boundaries of the Hebrew tribe. And so now they're trying to talk about, how do we bring these new believers who don't know anything about, they don't know the narrative of the Hebrew people, how do we bring them into this relationship with God? Acknowledging this thing that we all have, a need to know God and to be known by God, to be seen by God, and to have God pleased with us. We want this. We need this. And I would suggest to you that almost every religious tradition is designed precisely for that purpose. How do we connect to God? How do we know that the divine sees us, knows us, and loves us? And how do we make sure that we're doing the right things so that the divine is actually pleased with what the divine sees and will allow us to stay in the presence of the divine? And so Paul, in this conversation, is talking about these battles that are going on, and they're talking about the way they were devouring one another. But so knowing that, I think it also is interesting to think about what he means by the works of the flesh. So he says the works of the flesh. Now, in traditions in which I grew up, these are the warm things, right? The warm, what they call warm sins, fornication, impurity, licentiousness, drunkenness, and carousing. They're right there on the list. But interestingly, that's not even half the list. The other half of the list are not warm sins at all. They're actually very, very cold. They are idolatry and sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy. All of these things that exist in the world that we know each one of these things can cause massive destruction and pain and suffering. Destruction, pain, and suffering in our own lives, and destruction, pain, and suffering in the world around us. When we pour ourselves into these works of the flesh, things begin to die. And we begin to die. And people begin to die. What all of these things have in common, every single thing on the list, both the warm sins and the cold sins, is me. Self. Self as the center of the universe. Me trying to get my needs met. Me worrying about me over and over and over. Me desperate to feel loved and cared for. Me desperate to feel safe and secure. Me desperate for you to know that I am doing well, that I am successful. Me desperate to be in charge. Me desperate to be in control. Me. See me. Me. And then Paul contrasts those things. He says that the fruit of the Spirit is different. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'll confess to you, as I stand in this pulpit and read those words to you, I begin to relax. Feels my heart slowing down. I can feel my body relaxing. I can feel myself being at peace. Like finally, no more striving, no more selfishness, no more and more and more, no more look at me. Just peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, externally focused things. So how do we jump from the works of the flesh that I think we're all quite familiar with in our lives and jump to the works of the Spirit? I don't believe it's an invitation that we can just change our minds. And I think it means we have to go back to this other desire. Why were we doing all these other things in the first place? It's to get noticed, to be seen, and to be seen by the divine. Now remember, before Paul's conversion, he was the keeper of the divine and of all the rules about how to make sure that the divine notices you and is pleased with what it sees when it sees you. But then he has this encounter with the risen Christ. With the risen Christ who knows him and loves him and has redeemed him. And he learns something huge about God. He learns something that he never thought of before in his life, that maybe it's not actually a transaction. Maybe there is nothing that you can do to get God to see you and to love you and to welcome you. But then in fact, through the person of Jesus Christ, through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, God has said, I see you, just as you are. I see you, and I love you, and I accept you. I see you when the makeup is just right, and the light is just right, and the selfie is perfect, and you're really careful. I see you, and I love you. I see you when you shaved before you went out and you got your tie just on or the fine linen shirt and you went and you sat next to the beautiful flowers and you got just the perfect selfie smile. I see you. I see you and I love you. And when you forgot to do all those things because your life was so heavy and you just couldn't fake it anymore and you didn't get the smile on in time and the selfie looks like you, tired and battered and beat up and lonely and sick, scared. I see you. I see you as you are. And I love you. When the selfie reveals you're afraid. You're afraid that no one sees you. No one knows you. No one loves you. God says, I see you. I know you. And I love you. I think the one place where Christianity right this minute is the most countercultural is right here at this intersection. Everything in the world, it seems, is trying to convince us that the most important thing in the world is for you to get what you want. Just keep striving, keep working for it. Lie, fight, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, go for it. Whatever you need, get it now. The commercials say you deserve it. That's why you should have it. Whether you can afford it or not, whether you actually need it or not, whether or not it might actually cause you harm, but you want it, you should have it, and maybe someone will see you. Maybe you'll fit in. Maybe you'll belong. All the while, the Christian gospel is saying, stop already. Stop with the selfies. Stop with the incessant obsession with you. Because you are loved and you are known. And you are cared for. So breathe. See that God sees you and loves you. And then maybe we start to live differently. Then maybe our heart slows down and our bodies relax a little bit and we begin to experience a little love, some joy, patience, and kindness, and generosity, and faithfulness. And gentleness and self-control. And there is no law against such things, says Paul, because they are enough. They are enough. God's love is enough.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.